Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show on this fine Tuesday. The weather's breaking. It's getting nice outside, and it's time for golf. Let's go tee it up for anybody. Well, certainly the way the market's reacting, it's definitely time for golf because there's nothing going on. And that, I think, is the most interesting thing that we can look at. If you take a look back at the Sunday night trade into Monday, and of course we had that ridiculous report that they weren't going to cut crude production. And is anybody surprised? And of course the answer has to be no. How could you be surprised? They're not going to cut costs. They have no costs, basically. What do you think? They got minimum wage? You think they had the minimum wage debate out in the desert? You think the Middle East is worried about the $15 an hour? They're going to pump until they can't pump anymore, because what do they care? I guarantee you, I don't care what they say, their net cost is zippity-doo-dah. Okay, I mean that's the end of the day. Why do you think these guys are all, you know, sheiks and living in castles? The guys that own the oil, you know, this is not. They're making less. That's all. In the meantime, they're making a nice healthy profit margin. You know, they don't have to report, but I guarantee you, we will not have to have a tag day for those guys. So, you know, there should have been no surprise that the markets are going to, you know, sell off on that initial news. But what you shouldn't be really surprised at is that we're going to see a rally after it. And, of course, that is exactly what we saw. Now, I was doing a live call on Sunday night, and I said, hey, you know, look, you probably should be buying this. It's probably just another buying opportunity. We've been saying for the last couple of days, you know, that, well, you know, now that we're here, you know, it has nothing to do with our belief of the market. It has nothing to do with our belief of the fundamentals. What it has to do with is, the markets are going to go where the markets are going to go, no matter what you and I say, no matter what you and I think. Markets are markets, and right now they want to go higher. There is nothing in the way that is going to slow these things down. Now, you could have seen that on Sunday night had you looked at it. Again, I'm not saying everybody should look at it, but had you been watching, you would have noticed that the markets themselves were now saying, hey, you know, but not so bad. We'll go up again, because you've got these idiotic Fed people. Okay, these are like some aliens. Okay, we'll call them the Fed people, the aliens from outer space that have no clue. Okay, once again, I think Fisher. I might remember. You know what? I can't remember. It's so hard to keep track. I don't have my scoreboard and pencil ready. But one of the yokels said, "Well, you know, I think we'll keep cheap money for a little bit longer." Now, at the end of the day, that is not what is driving the market? Now, you know, you can say whatever you want, but right now, the market is being driven strictly by what the Federal Reserve does. It has nothing to do with growth. It has nothing to do with anything else. Okay, it's got to do with one thing and one thing only, and that is how much free money do the banks and people think they can get to keep firing into the market. Now, what is the fallacy behind that? Well, I mean, number one, we've seen this movie before. Number two, we know that eventually it's going to stop. And we know, number three, that it really, in the longer, bigger scheme, it's really not good for the economy. Okay, you know, we can talk about all we want. We can look at things all we want. But at the end of the day, okay, you know, the Fed wants to push stocks higher, and that's what they're doing. Now, they think in their own idiotic way that they're doing everybody a favor, okay, by pushing higher. But are they? Okay, really? Do we really think that they're doing us a favor? I mean, I believe that they're doing a lot more damage. I believe that they're taking away the free market environment, because they are purely sitting there, and they call it the Fed put or the Bernanke put or whatever, the Greenspan, anyone, but the Yellen put, somebody's put or putts, okay? I don't know which it is, but what we're seeing is a total manipulation of markets, okay? Now, you know, I think that that Greenspan admitted that their job was to try to push the markets higher. Now, I don't remember reading that in the Fed mandate. That doesn't sound familiar to me. I don't know that I've ever read that before, but we know that's what the story is. I mean, sure enough, you had to know that that was the overall process here, because again, in their own warped state, they believe that a higher stock market creates more confidence. But of course, we haven't seen that, and we will not see it, because it doesn't create more confidence, because the average guy in the street is not heavily invested in the stock market. It's a part of their portfolio. But and just because the markets are going higher does not mean that the stocks you own are going higher, nor does it mean anything. Okay? Again, we're going to continue to accept a weaker economy, weaker jobs, weaker growth, making less money, and that's not going to be the case. This is the point that everybody seems to not be paying attention to. Now, again, it doesn't mean anything today, because we know the markets are going higher. So, but at the end, it will mean something, and they'll go back and they'll say, oh, yeah, that was a bubble. But again, you have to understand the process of what's going on. The markets have a mind of their own, and right now their mind says we're going up. Now, that's due to the buyers are the driver. Okay, and we're seeing stocks driven higher here on air, another air pocket. But again, what you have to remember is it doesn't matter. We are not the controllers of the economy. We are not going to be able to tell the stock market what to do. What we know is that the markets do what they do, and we have to figure out how to best trade around when it's there. So our job is to identify footprints to find favorable opportunities. Now, one of the things I think here, and I've been saying this for the last number of weeks, is it's really probably better to sit on the sidelines and observe. I mean, you know, there is not a tremendous amount of action. Volume is at a lull. Monday was like, I mean, nothing happened, okay? Other than we reversed and we had a little bit of a spurt. But after the spurt was over, nothing really happened. Now, you can look and you can lay it out any way that you'd like, okay? But at the end of the day, here we are. Okay, the markets are moving higher. They're going to try to push that high. I mean, you know, first we thought 18,000, and then I said, well, you know, probably. You know, you get so close that, you know, when the volume is dying and drying out, and you know the right stocks to buy, it's not hard to drive an index to a new high. Okay, that is something that you have to always understand, is that when you have these things going on, it's not that hard to push and to drive an index to a new high if you choose to do so, okay? And I believe that they choose to do so, because I believe that the greed is playing out here. I believe we've got, again, buyers coming in that have no money, that are able to borrow, and they're borrowing off what they own, and they're going to go down like the Titanic when it does come. Now, again, it may not come for a while. I'm not predicting the end of the world. I can't do that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I do know this. The markets will, again, have a meltdown. The only question is when. But in the meantime, I recommend we sit back, we relax, observe the market, look for some key opportunities, and then we work from there. That's really the end of the day, because that's what comes out when we do things like that and we take care of things better. Anyways, join my friends Scott Connor and Kevin Hinks over at Thinkorswim as they educate traders daily, providing real insights in trading stocks, options, futures every day at no cost to you at Swim Lessons Live. Okay, check them out. I urge you to. They do a nice job, and Thinkorswim is a nice platform. Go check out the swim lessons every day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. You ever miss an episode? LibertyTalk.fm. We'll get you the download. I urge you to check it out. I also want you to check out BubbaTrading.com. Get yourself signed up for that hedge class. No time like the present. Let's get you done. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Wake
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And man, oh man, I'll tell you, socialism, here we come. Marxism, communism, something with ism is being percolated in the United States of America. You know, you can just see by what is going on that somebody's grabbing hold of everything and trying to force everybody and as they say, steal the old man's bundle. You know, it really is a joke at what's going on in this country right now and really around the globe. So many things are just creating artificialness, bubbles, the whole deal. And you know, when we look at what's going on, I mean, you got to see it. I mean, you know, maybe the Fed is behind Bernie Sanders. Maybe that's where his money is coming from. I mean, I think that's what they're aiming for anyways. I mean, we've said this before. This is not something new. It's not a new revelation. But they're certainly on track to try to wipe the hell out of everybody. And, you know, I'll tell you, there's just so many things that are beyond belief, you know, that, you know, you're seeing it in the markets, the volatility. And if you don't know what the volatility is, for options traders, implied volatility is the key measure of expected movement. And the expected movement just keeps continuing to wail away and fall. And even here in earnings season, where you typically see some explosions, you know, you're seeing that volatility dry up as well. And that, again, is a perfect sign of what we call complacency. That is what we see when everybody knows that the market can only go up. We know that the market will never go down again because that's what they're telling us. Now, you know, I don't know if you believe it or not, but at the end of the day, that is what the market is saying, that it's never going down again. Now, I can't be privy to that, and I certainly can't support that because I know better, as do you. However, you know, when you look at what's going on, this is why it's so important to grab hold of the market footprint. This is why it's so important to really take a look around you at what goes on and make your decision based on what you're seeing and what the footprints are telling you, not what you hope happens or what you think should happen. Because, you know, they are not equal, right? What we think should happen and what's going to happen is not something that we can control, nor can we predict. And when you try to predict what's going to happen, you're just predicting, you know, you're trying to flip a coin and say, I'm lucky. Okay, like all the great, look at, there's a lot of great experts out there that have tried to pick the top of this market. Okay, there's a lot of markets, a lot of guys out there that thought they knew better. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you look around and you see what's going on here, okay, and you say, well, how the hell can we be going up? Well, because that's right. The buyers want to buy because there's money, because they got money. And that is something that you have to look at. I mean, if you take a look back at last week's data, it sucked, okay? I mean, but it doesn't matter. That is more importantly the key. Okay, is that it doesn't matter. See, nobody cares. Okay, nobody gives a rat's ass as to what happens, because again, when you want to buy, you just want to buy, and that is really what you're seeing. You know, again, I don't want to, you know, beat this redundant horse into the ground, but you've got a manipulative Fed that has absolutely no idea, that's basically trying to turn us into a socialist nation. You've got already in office now a socialist as a president, and you've got another one running. And again, maybe the Fed's behind him. I mean, you know, it's just not what's happening is just not logical. Okay, and that becomes the bigger problem. Okay, when you have to have out, you know, Fed officials come out and speak to hold things up. Okay, you know, Kashkari says we're in uncharted waters. What is uncharted? You guys are ridiculous. You keep rates at ridiculous levels so nobody can borrow money. What is it uncharted? You made it uncharted. And it's not uncharted territory. They don't know what they're doing. That's, but a lot of them will admit at least that they don't have a clue. And that is the bigger problem, okay, is that the Fed has no clue, and they have no value, and they're worthless. That's what it comes down to, is, you know, from watching these people work, okay, now again, I cannot call them not smart people, because again, they're very well educated, but from watching these people work, they have absolutely no clue, okay? Believe me, I would hate to be out in the field, stuck with them somewhere, lost, and have them have to get me home. I don't think they could find their way home from a mile away from where they are, because this is a joke. This is not even worth talking about what they're doing. This is a simple method of, okay, let's just keep pouring on more money. Let's keep firing in, because eventually it'll go away, and if not, we can always screw the American people and reduce their currency and make it worth less. I mean, that's what you're seeing. So they have no risk. What's their exposure? Okay, they printed more money, and that's all that they care about. You know, their exposure is minimal. Their exposure is none. Okay, they'll just say, okay, well, we'll print some more money, and then what do you end up with? You end up with a problem, and I think that is the bigger problem. Okay, is that we don't care, and we let it get away, and of course, it's going to come down to, you know, voting, and it's going to come down to, you know, what's next. But if we don't step up soon, okay, you can figure that it's only going to get worse. There is no real hope on the horizon that things are going to get better. Okay, now you can listen to the pundits on air. You can listen to them bullshit you and pretend that life is getting better. You can do all these things, okay, and pretend that, well, you know, we're in good shape, we're getting better, things are straightening up. Or you can really face the facts, and that the facts come here. You look in the mirror and you look at your own life and you decide if it's good or bad. It's not for me to tell you. See, that's the thing that nobody gets, okay? Yes, certain people are doing very well, and certainly if you live in certain areas and you've got the right job, you're doing very well. But if you're not working, or if you got a crappy job, is it working well for you? You know, it's like, how is it for you? Well, good for me. I mean, you know, come on. Let's focus and keep our eye on the ball here. Okay. I would venture to say that most of you are not thrilled with what's going on around, and most of you are not benefiting aggressively from what has been happening. I'm not saying you're not benefiting at all, because one thing we do know is most of you are probably in a 401k, and hopefully you didn't get out in 08 when most people did panic. But, you know, if you're in, then you can't be unhappy. I mean, Mark Faber said it best, doom, gloom, and boom. He said, hey, look, I'm long the market. I'm taking advantage of the idiocy of the people running it. But overall, I know that it's going to collapse eventually. And again, that's a common thread. Now, for someone to make a ridiculous statement like it's going to go to zero in this period of time, that's stupid. But to think that we're going to have a collapse, I mean, again, that just goes back to the math and the odds. You know, probability tells us certain things. And the probability of this market having a meltdown is very high. Of course, the probability of the market being higher than it is today, 10 years from now, is also very high. So, you know, everything is just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. We're going to go down, and then we're going to go back up. Because the way the markets work, they go up 9% year over year, and we'll be, you know, there. But now, what you're really looking for now is the opportunity for the sell-off so that you can look to step in and be a buyer. So you should be hedging or moving yourself partially into cash so that you don't have to make that crucial decision when the markets do hit the bottom. Because again, listen, who knows what's going to happen? It could be months, it could be tomorrow. You know, there's no way to tell when it will happen. It just will happen. But in the meantime, all the money managers, buy, buy, buy. All the brokers, buy, buy, buy. All the pundits, buy, buy, buy. And of course, think about it. If everybody's buying, who's going to be there to sell? And that's another thing. Eventually, now who knows when, because with all the free money, but eventually the money will run out and the buyers will stop. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, some sellers will step in, and it'll be casual at first. And the next thing you know, it'll be cracking them down. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Again, I don't predict. I just react to what's going on in the markets. But what I do is I do help you hedge. And if you go to BubbaTrading.com, look at my hedging program. Again, whether you do or you don't, it's not a big deal to me, but I think it'd be a big deal to you. And I think that you need to be hedged, because at the end of the day, what I say is going to happen will happen. I don't know when, but it's better to be safe and ready than sorry. This is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz. You missed an episode. LibertyTalk.fm will get you a download. Over 200,000 people are downloaded a month. Make yourself one of them. The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back after the break with our buddy Mike McClone. The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz.
You're so delicious. You're so...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz. It's time for the one, the only, Mike McClone. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Todd. Hello, and thanks for having me back.
What the hell's going on in this market? What gives? I mean, I don't understand. We, of course, we're not data driven because nobody cares. All we know is we got free money and we go higher. That's all we know right now. What the hell gives?
Well, I think it's part of the transitionary period. The data has actually turned somewhat negative. If you just look at, like, last auto sales have turned down, industrial production has turned down, retail sales have turned down. Unfortunately, these things are weaker than expected. Consumer sentiment last week was somewhat bad. It's turned down. Now, these are things we talked about for a while, and the markets have kind of told us. And the Fed has turned more dovish, which is good for stocks. And so we're back to this bad news is good news situation for now. The key thing is, if you look at some of the bottom line investments we've spoken about for a while, is, you know, it's hard to really determine, you know, what to do with the stock market. I still think it's got a major risk factor, but there's sometimes better ways to invest in better value, and that's where I'm still looking at the U.S. Treasury bond market. It's been one of the best investments, and it was again last week. Yields are down on the 10-year note, down to 177. They started the year 2.6. So TLT, which is one of the primary ways to invest in simple, old, good old U.S. Treasury bonds, which is about 20 years, is up over 10% in the year. And one of the key things that's really kicked in last week was silver. Silver is up now 17% on the year. And key thing that's happened is silver, I like to watch the ETFs. So you look at SLV, it's touched the 100-week, I don't like to say day, 100-week moving average for the first time since 2012, at the same time when the primary ETFs that track the U.S. dollar on the way back down has touched the 100-week moving average for the first time since 2014. So we're getting some transitioning going on.
All right, so now, you know, I always have a great deal of trouble dealing with this stuff. You know, I know, in my opinion, and partially verified, but I know the big banks are getting big short here, okay? Just based on some of the trades I make. You know how it used to be when we used to be on the floor, and, you know, Goldman Sachs was nibbling on one side, but they were really blinging in on the other, right? And the commitment of traders is saying that they're accumulating volatility futures. And I mean, does this market have enough? I mean, it looks to me like it wants to go test the all-time highs. I mean, we're only 2.5% away. I mean, God forbid they should miss it. They get this close. What do you think?
Well, it could do that. I didn't think it would get this far. I was kind of shocked it got this far. But are you still there?
I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. I was kind of surprised I got this far, but it could go anywhere. I just don't see the relative value to be investing at these levels, and I still think it's better off letting things go, and if you're prudent enough, sometimes testing shorts. But then again, that's more difficult. That's why I've been more biased to things that are more have showed more value, like silver, gold, and treasury bonds. But it could do anything. So I could do that. I think the trade of the most pain is to go up, make all-time new highs, maybe get everybody excited, and then revert down. But I don't really know. I just don't see the value investing in equities and stock markets right now. But I see tons of value in commodities and gold and silver.
You're like a rotational player kind of guy. You don't short, which is great. I mean, again, not everybody has a desire, not everybody knows how, and obviously it's a little riskier. So you're more of you'll rotate from different asset classes. Would that be a good statement?
Well, I'd like to say, where's the value? And I see tremendous headwinds in the stock market. One thing that came away last month is this headwind of Fed tightening. Now, that's one of the things that I really said as a premise was a bit of a headwind, is we all knew QE3 really boosted the stock market. That's been proven by most economists. And they're taking it away and tightening while the rest of the world is easing and it's creating a strengthening dollar. But what's happened so far since they've tightened is the dollar's weakening, the economy's starting to turn down, and now they are turning dovish. Although there's still tightening price in the market. So I think that's a huge headwind in the stock market, in addition to earnings and all that. And I see huge tailwinds in some other asset classes, primarily commodities, and some of the easiest to invest in commodities are gold and silver.
Well, yeah, and I don't disagree. I mean, I think that gold probably has another run in itself down. I think it had a great move. I think silver probably, the difference is one of the things you pounded on for weeks was the relationship between gold and silver. And of course, last week that came in pretty good. I mean, silver was up, I think, 5%, and gold was basically down a little bit. So that was, again, the kind of things you're looking for. And I think those are the kind of trades that you put out there for people, that you kind of give them an idea that, these are things you look at. It's just not that simple where you say, okay, well, I'm going to just buy this and hold it. You say, hey, I like the metal space, but I like this one better because of, and of course, it worked out to be pretty good. And I think that's something that, you always bring to the table, is not only the pure trade, but also some of the relationships that people don't really understand. What do you think?
Well, exactly. That's what I try to focus on. Where's the relative value in the market looking ahead 6 to 12 months and a couple years? And gold-silver ratio is a key part of it. It got above 80. I mean, it's as far as its time in history, it's a very, very rare for that ratio to get above 80. And one of the last key times was right around the crisis and the aftermath of the crisis. It printed around 84. And then it subsequently declined all the way to 30 in 2011 when silver printed up to $50 an ounce. So it's rational just to expect that ratio to get back to the 50 to 60 area. So that makes silver really attractive relative to gold. And also what really happened earlier in this year, which was a bit of a shock, was when the gold oil ratio, if you just look at gold divided by oil, reached one of the high. It did reach the highest level ever, which pointed out that oil was relatively extremely cheap at 25, and it's probably pretty fairly priced at 40. I think a key resistance level is around 60. I can talk about that later. The key difference is, if you look at the number one way to invest in oil, USO is down in the year, yet the spot price of oil is up. What do I have it? Year to date, it's up 10%. USO up down like 6%. So you can't just invest in it. That's why I always try to go back to precious metals or anything that's easy to invest in. You don't have to understand as much of it, and always read the prospectus. But you can't just go buy crude oil, and you have to be much more tactical in trading. So that's why I'm kind of reluctant to buy it, because I'm not the best timer.
Well, yeah, I mean, talking about that, and of course, on Sunday, they voted against the freeze. I mean, I don't know why everyone was so shocked. I mean, oil got cracked on Sunday night, but were you shocked that they didn't freeze the production?
No. Come on. We all know Iran is, pumping about 2 million barrels a day, and they're probably going to go back to 4 million barrels. Everybody needs money. And this is a trend that just doesn't – this is a substantial super tanker that just doesn't shift on a dime. Yeah, okay, so oil might pop to 50 if we get – I wouldn't say that's lucky, but if there's an incident or something. But the supply-demand trends are very unfavorable for oil to sustain a a good solid rally. So what that means is it's likely to range trade between, who knows, 30 and 50 for a long time. But the key thing is, from an investor standpoint, is bottom line, we just can't buy oil. We can do it in the short term. We can protect ourselves, but the contango will really hurt you. It'll cost you a lot of money. So be very careful like that. So to me, it doesn't really matter so much. I like to use it as an indicator as of inflation if it goes up, and you know, lack of or disinflation if it goes down, and a sign of organic demand globally. But actually investing in crude oil, be very careful. Maybe focus on things more like unleaded gas that don't have as much contango that generally hurts you. It's just not something we can easily invest in terms of our listeners.
Yeah, you know, so you mentioned, you know, maybe 60. I'm going to make a statement. You tell me if you agree or disagree. I don't think in the next, I don't know, let's say 10 years, that oil will see $100 again.
Well, that's a substantial statement, and I don't know as much as I'd like to really back that up with some research I did recently. I just got some information off the, and did it a little while ago, I think I mentioned, on the Energy Information Administration's website, which points out there's something that's really changing in this society that most people are not aware of, is this massive transmogrification of the U.S. energy industry, meaning we are producing, we are using the same amount of, or less energy than we did 15 years ago, yet the economy has increased 80%. That's never happened in the history of the world over a 10, 15-year period. And we're producing approximately 34%, 30 to 40% more energy than we did 10 to 15 years ago. That trend is substantial. It means it's basically because of technology. And oh, you know, over the next 10 years, I have solar in my house. You know, maybe that we get 2 to 3% total energy in this country from solar. Why not 10 to 20%? Just look what a computer cost 10 years ago. So that's a major thing that you have to dare to say it's different this time. That's really different. So who knows what it's going to take to get, you know, oil above 100. But the key point is most of the world is still very much dependent on crude oil and energy right now. Now, 10 years from now, I think that's going to change a lot, notably in this country.
Well, you know, again, it's amazing with oil. You know, we've got in this country over 100-year supply without having to go to the protected area, so to speak. And that's based on we don't do anything. And, of course, I think right now you and I both know that big oil still has their clamps into the government a little bit. And that's why I don't think they really developed solar totally the way it should have been done. I don't think that's why they've developed, you know, the electric car the way it could have been. I think that there's a lot of issues that'll change. But when we come back from the break, I want you to think about this. You know, one time Big Tobacco controlled the government, or was, you know, one of the bigger players, and it switched to kind of Big Oil, and eventually they'll let Big Oil figure out a way to make money somewhere else while still doing oil, but they'll give them another chance to make money somewhere else, unlike what Obama did with the coal companies. But that's for something for you to think about. This is Mike McClone, my buddy, my man. He knows it, understands it, and is always on top of the market. This is the Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horwich. If you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you all of our downloads. We just surpassed 200,000, and we're looking to go to 3. So make sure you're one of them. I'm coming out. But anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Go to bubbatrading.com, and we'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horwich. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with my man Mike McClone, analyst extraordinaire. All right, Mike, so I think that, you know, Big Tobacco is a big player and a big part of the government, and, you know, it's obviously they spend on both sides, you know, trying to buy favors, whatever. And now Big Oil, I think, is the bigger player as tobacco is rolled out, and we don't have that. So I think that they're going to let the oil companies kind of find another secondary source to replace all that big money as they start to phase out the oil. And I think that's why we haven't seen the development of true solar that everybody can really just afford. I mean, it's probably affordable. I don't know much about it, but I can tell that it's not either as efficient or as affordable yet because not everybody has it. What say you?
It's coming fast. I can use myself as an example. I installed a solar system 3 years ago now, and it cost me $20,000. It's going to pay for itself in another 3 years. Yet the price has already probably declined another 10%. Now, that was subsidized because it was the gross cost would have been 40. What's happening is just look at these as an analyst. You just watch these trends, and the costs are still going down rapidly. And the storage is going down rapidly with people like Elon Musk and his Gigafactory. And to me, that's a disruptive technology that's unsurpassable, that's coming, that's taking over. And it happened in natural gas. Now, look how cheap natural gas is. Now, look what it did to coal. Why wouldn't, I mean, even though coal can sometimes be burned efficiently and cheaply and without a lot of emissions, it's just completely politically incorrect. And by the way, if we have natural gas that is that much cheaper and has no emissions, why not? And we have that technology. And that's, to me, it's just looking for 10, 20 years, is this is taking over even without subsidies. And it's kind of hard to fight that trend, so we might as well join it. But sometimes as investors, I was like, what are you supposed to do? And there's been a few stocks that have had problems, and one of them recently that might just be declaring bankruptcy is SUNY, Sun Edison. And unfortunately, that's I'm not recommending anything, but it's kind of it's difficult for investors to get involved in sometimes to make money. But it's just one of those things we have to be cognizant that's really happening, and it's look at what happened to coal. Now, that might happen to big oil. I think it's going to take much longer, as you know, it's going to be a much longer period before we can get people to switch away from petroleum and petroleum consumption, but it's happening.
Well, that's what I think. I really believe that big oil's got too much of a hold on the government, where coal didn't really have that much of a hold. And I think they'll let them phase out, kind of like they let tobacco phase out. But we'll see how it plays out. But Sun Edison, of course, a year ago or so, it was 30-some dollars, and now it's about 30 cents. So,
yeah.
And those are not for – those stocks are for professionals only, kids. I mean –
yeah.
You know, you can play them, but you just realize if you can't short them because you'll get murdered one day and you won't know what to do, but you can buy them if you're buying a lottery ticket. It's like going to the gas station and say, okay, I'm going to blow $300 here and buy 100 shares or 1,000 shares for 37 cents. I'm not recommending it, but that's, you know, it'll have a pop. I mean, I think it was down to 14 cents and then went like back to 60 or 70. So, but anyways, it's not something that you want to do when you're an investor or a trader. That's really, leave that to the professionals, because you're going to find yourself in more trouble than it's worth. I mean, you know, we saw it happen with Walters Energy, with all those big companies that were all at one time $60, $700, are all under 20 cents now. And that's a problem. And so what about natural gas, Mike? I mean, you know, natural gas, you keep thinking that it would pop, and it just keeps going. It's like it's going to zero. It's like a company going out of business. But we know the natural gas isn't going out of business, but a lot of the companies that are involved in it are.
Well, that's one of those disruptive technologies you just can't get away from. And it's changing our society. We're leading the world in natural gas production and fracking, and it's just not going to go away tomorrow. And that's, to me, where one thing that, you know, it's the most dangerous thing to say sometimes in this business, it's different this time, is that is a key thing. It's really different. And so what I really point out is this disruptive, it's basically this disruptive technology is how they're really taking over. And that's part of the reason there's really no inflation. I mean, we have things like Uber now. I have kids in their early 20s and late 19s, and they, you know, if they go out drinking, they just don't drive. They say, oh, just call an Uber, it cost me $10, thank you very much. You know, that's just so many more options nowadays that it's taking over. And I think that's part of the reason that we don't see, you know, virtually all the Fed governors and all the economists have been wrong about inflation for the last 5 years. Part of the reason TLT keeps doing better, it's just these things are really changing society, and a lot of the smart decision makers have not caught up to them yet, although they are starting to. For instance, I really enjoyed what Stanley Fischer said recently. He's the Fed vice chair, and I think I mentioned this before. He said, he was asking about economic activity. He says, well, the tests are the same now. You know, as being an economist, the question, the difference is all the answers have changed.
Well, see, and I give him no respect. I give him garbage, because there's only one Fed guy who ever said it right. That was Volcker. Volcker said, we have no idea, and we'll give you our answer after the movie's over. And that's what they do. That's what Volcker said, and that's what it is. And they have no idea, because they're not willing to step out and really do what they're supposed to do. Because what they really should have done is they should have started raising rates 3 years ago. But again, I don't want to get into that today, because I was going to leave the Fed alone, because I'm all fed up. But you know, well, you know, it's just silly already. It's enough already, and we're having so much damage throughout the rest of the world with all this. And this is really more of creating a socialist environment. And I think I really believe that that's their aim, because that's what it looks like. And you just see this, you know, Christine Lagarde out mouthing off about more NERP. No more negative interest rates. I mean, come on, Mike. I mean,
well, I'm glad you mentioned her, because that she'd said something a week ago that was significant, and that is the IMF. She has the IMF has now downgraded again the global GDP forecast. Now there's a trend that's a body in motion that stays in motion. What has been the trend in forecasts for global GDP for the last 4 years? Virtually every single one of them has been a downgrade. It was the New York Fed last week who just predicted a first half GDP growth in the United States for this year is going to be 1%. That's the entire first half of 2016. That's horrible. That's just unprecedented. And the Fed's tightening in that environment. They were. So, you know, we don't want to get into the Fed too much, but let's look at things that are happening in markets and that are unlikely to change. And that is, trends continue to show that global GDP continues to slow down. The U.S. looks like it's stagnant or even tipping over a little bit. What's it going to take to change that? And tightening rates isn't going to do it. And, you know, unfortunately, we might need a bit of a disruptive move in markets that will maybe finally get us back to some good organic levels.
All right, we got 2 minutes. We got 2 minutes to fight this out, maybe a little less. But I'm going to fight this out with you. I say that raise the damn rates and let the market fall. Who gives a crap? The only way that we're ever going to get out of this is if banks will start lending money and free up liquidity so guys can go into business for themselves. Right now, there is no liquidity. You can't go into business. You can't borrow. And at the end of the day, the banks aren't making any money either. And they're going to have a problem pretty soon here because they're not making enough money. They're not lending out enough dough. And they're getting being restricted between all the regulations, Dodd-Frank, and everything else. And at the end of the day, raise rates. The market collapses. So what? Who cares about the market? I care about the general economy. What do you say?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's nice to be able to say that, but that's part of the conundrum, is that's where we are now. We can't really do anything. If the Fed raises too much, we know that we might go back to a recession and maybe
we're still in a recession.
Hold it.
We're still in a recession.
Well,
where
exactly,
does it say we're not in a recession?
Well, it's certain economy, you know, like 1% GDP growth is not very good, but that's part of the problem. I view was, you know, when I read Bernanke's book, I just go, oh my gosh, this is what I view. QE3 just kind of did it. Now we're stuck. Now I think it made a lot of sense. They had to get off zero. That makes sense. But now I think they're pointing out just what you said about Volcker. They really don't know what to do, but we all know if the stock market continues higher, they might have to act. If it goes down, they might have to act the other way. So it looks like we're all kind of subject to the stock market.
Well, I'm not subject to it. They should let the banks go broke on 08 because that was a bunch of crap, too. And I tell you what, I think it was more manipulated and more orchestrated, and I ain't happy about it. But I can't put those words in your mouth. That's Bubba's opinion. Mike McClellan has nothing to do with it. He's a Bernanke fan. I am not. But, Mike, always awesome to have you on. I love having you on because you do bring a lot of things up. And you do get my blood pressure up, so it's always good.
Yeah, well, thank you. I do appreciate being up.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. That was my guy, Mike McClellan. He is one of the smartest guys I know, and I'm fortunate to know him. We just don't always agree on everything, but that's the way life goes. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download. Make sure you're one of the over 200,000 people that get it. Also, check out bubbatrading.com. We got great stuff up there for you. I write for it every day, and you can imagine what I'm writing about. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.